Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday, October 7th. New business applications outpace nation. Study. Midland is only small metro area in Texas in top 55. By Ben Schaefer. Last year, Midland saw 3,376 new business applications, 19.27 applications per 1,000 residents, according to a recent study by Smartest Dollar. Nationally, there were 16.18 new business applications per 1,000 residents. Midland ranked 21st among small metropolitan areas in new business applications per 1,000 residents. Midland was the only small metropolitan area in Texas in the top 55 listed by Smartest Dollar. Odessa ranked 55th in the same category. Midland ranked 54th among all metro areas in new business applications per capita, the study shows. In 2021, Midland saw a 21.5% increase in new business applications compared to 2020. Texas ranked third of all 50 states in total new business applications, with 16.89 new applications per 1,000 residents. There was a total of 492,243 new applications in 2021, the study states. Gas prices rise 17 cents in Midland, by Ben Schaefer. Gas prices have surged in Midland and statewide this week as OPEC Plus announced significant production cuts, AAA Texas reported Thursday. The statewide gas price average climbed this week, as did every Texas community. Before this week, Texas gas prices had been decreasing for 15 consecutive weeks. The state average increased by 9 cents to $3.20. Midland saw a 17-cent increase to $3.32. Midland has the fifth highest gas price average in the state this week. This spike comes a week after Midland's gas prices were only 4 cents higher than the state average at $3.15 and $3.11, respectively. On Wednesday, OPEC Plus announced plans to cut production by 2 million barrels per day. Gas prices across Texas began increasing just hours before the anticipated announcement. While it's too early to determine how high or long retail gasoline prices will increase, the impact is expected to last through this coming weekend, possibly further. Last week, the lowest gas price average in the state was in San Angelo at $2.96. This week, San Angelo's average gas price is $3.08, a 12-cent increase. The lowest gas price currently in the state is in Brownsville-Harlingen at $3.02. The largest increase in prices statewide was seen in El Paso, whose average increased by 32 cents from a week ago. The second highest weekly increase AAA Texas reported was in Odessa, where prices increased from $3.11 a week ago to $3.34. 23 cents. AAA reported no decrease in gas prices throughout the entire state. The least impacted areas statewide are College Station, Bryan, and Beaumont, Port Arthur. Their prices only increased by 3 cents. OPEC's announcement affected the nation with a spike in prices. Texas is still the third lowest state gas price average in the U.S. Pachuco's to move into Old Johnny's Barbecue. Food truck owner aims for November opening, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. To say the selling of Johnny's Barbecue and the migration from truck to masonry for a Pachuco mobile food company came out of nowhere remains false. In fact, Pachuco's owner, Ruben Carrasco Jr., told the Reporter-Telegram, the businesses started collaborating on the transition in September 2021. We weren't necessarily looking to go to a brick and mortar since we've only been in operation for 3 years, Carrasco explained. We found out the Jillians were looking to retire and knew it was an opportunity we had to try to get. In 2006, the late Johnny Hackney sold the business to Roy and Tammy Gillian, who also owned the Barn Door Steakhouse in Odessa. Operating out of the same building established by Hackney in 1955, the Gillians continued to serve the legendary barbecue to the community for the next 16 years. After starting Pachuco Mobile in an old 1960s bread truck, picking a historic location full of history and character felt easy for Carrasco. With a passion for mixing the old with the new, the West Texas native hopes to keep Johnny's image and likability alive by displaying memorabilia, while also creating a fresh and innovative space created by meshing big city feels with small town regulations for Midlanders of all ages to come out and enjoy friends, family, and good food. I go to Austin, Houston, all these places, but when I come home, I want a cool place to kick it at, so we plan on adding a street-side patio, Carrasco said. We want to be incorporated into the entertainment district of downtown because this whole area is going to be thriving. We're just starting to get that, so we're excited to be a part of it. Along with the hopeful patio, the crew plans to turn that old 1960s van into a beer truck. Besides cosmetic touch-ups, rebranding, and appliance replacements, not many other construction projects fill the bill, providing Carrasco with a tentative November opening. As for menu items, the smoked meat-based meals prevail with the addition of new burgers, specialty dishes, and a full line of barbecue, accompanied by signature sides and Johnny's potato salad and coleslaw. Patrons can also count on Pachuco's classic tacos, nachos, quesadillas, and more. Yet no matter how big a change may be, in the end, continuing to make a family in the tall city through local engagement reigns supreme for Carrasco and the rest of the Pachuco family. We want to continue to host community events where we can benefit nonprofits helping in our community. We think that's really important. And just continue to provide unique food that you can't get anywhere else, Carrasco said. A Monster Calls to Open Tonight by Morgan Taylor Thomas. With only 2 weekends of shows, the Pickwick Players fall drama, A Monster Calls, based on the novel written by Patrick Ness, will hit the ground running tonight. The production starts at 7:30 tonight, Saturday and October 14th through the 15th, and 2:30 p.m. Sunday and October 16th in the Midland Community Theater's Davis Theater 1. The story follows 13-year-old Connor, whose repetitive nightmare, triggered by his mother's illness, wakes him in a disturbing, psychotic rhythm. However, this time a voice calls from the window, roping him in and demanding an element scarier than the ancient force of nature, claiming the voice, the truth. Through a series of stories told by both Monster and Connor, the audience embarks on an intimate journey of mischief, healing, loss, and what it takes to survive. A Monster Calls, Pickwick Players, 7:30 p.m., October 7th through the 8th, 14th through the 15th, 2:30 p.m., October 9th and 16th. Midland Community Theater's Davis Theater 1, 2000 West Wadley. The Blue Door to Host an Array of October Events by Morgan Taylor Thomas. With a goal to provide Midlanders a space to relax and unwind in a sophisticated yet modest setting, Erica Mann opened the Blue Door in 2012. Now, 10 years later, the North City hotspot brings in community members from all over for themed events, fundraisers, happy hours, and more. The most wicked holiday of the year remains no exception. For October, Mann and her team have 4 events booked for family and friends alike to enjoy. Furthermore, the businesswoman said she enjoys offering a space to other local crews to grow their company and become beloved cornerstones in the area. Mann gave the Reporter-Telegram the scoop on what's happening at the 4610 North Garfield Street D, number 1C, brick and mortar this month. Barktoberfest, October 13th. This quarter's Yappy Hour will feature none other than an Oktoberfest theme. Both two- and four-legged friends should wear costumes, and photo ops include a large Oktoberfest backdrop with Tasha Sport, former president of the Midland Humane Coalition, behind the camera. Drinks consist of Tall City Brewing Company's Oktoberfest and cider cocktails, courtesy of the Blue Door mixologist. As for other activities, a raffle benefiting Fix West Texas will take place, prizes being a $50 gift card to the Blue Door and two tickets to Micro Markets October 29th Bar Crawl. Raffle tickets will run for $10 or three for $20, and guests do not have to be present to win. Mann said she'll post a Venmo entry option on social media a few days before the event. The event takes place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the patio. Pottery class, October 21st. Join local pottery queen Leslie Clay in an hour-long workshop on how to make a one-of-a-kind cocktail cup. Under the artist's guidance, guests will take a ball of clay and form a functional piece of art. After the cup dries, pottery goers leave their cups with clay, who then takes them home to be fired and glazed. Each guest will get to choose between a black, white, or clear glaze and can pick up their masterpiece from the Blue Door at a later date. This event will be held on the patio, and since normal operating hours will continue, customers can purchase food and drinks during their clay exhibition. Throwing begins at 6 p.m. Scary Movie Trivia, October 27th. A monthly ritual, Mann recommends movie fanatics make a reservation, as this event usually fills up. With an array of horror film questions on hand, teams, 21 and up, of course, stand a fair chance of taking home one of the first, second, or third place prizes. Goodies carry gift cards to local businesses and more. No entry fee will be required for teams. Guessing begins at 7 p.m. and usually runs for 2 hours. Bar Crawl, October 29th. In partnership with Micro Market, the Blue Door stands as one stop in the 12-location Wriggle around the Tall City. Besides being a wristband purchase location, the shop will serve two $6 cocktails. Drunken Pumpkin is made with Tito's, pumpkin liquor, and chai. The Witching Hour is made with tequila, freshly squeezed orange and lime juice, and grenadine. Eli Young Band, Wildcatters, October 8, 2022. Don't miss your chance to be part of the best shindig in the Permian Basin and party to the sounds of the Eli Young Band. Grab your boots and dust off your hat. October 8, 2022, Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center. Enjoy ranch-style midway games and s'mores by the fire. Sponsorships and general admission tickets available. Call 432-687-0195 or go to bbbspermianbasin.org/wildcatters-ball. Proceeds support programs to mentor and support youth in Midland and Odessa. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Permian Basin, thank you for your support. Welcome to Stanton, home of 3,000 friendly people and a few old soreheads. Old Sorehead Trade Days 2021, October 8th and 9th, Saturday 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Sunday 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., Community Center and Historic Downtown Streets, Stanton, Texas, 20 miles east of Midland. Antiques, Fine Art, Crafts, Trade and Lot, Entertainment. www.stantontex.com. Phone 432-756-2006. Bucky's to Break Ground on New Amarillo Location in 23 by Alexandra Scores, Dallas Morning News. Texas' favorite gas station and supersized convenience store, Bucky's, will break ground on a new Amarillo location in 2023. According to KVII-TV in Amarillo, the company now owns land south of Interstate 40 after a sale from Atterbury Farms, LLC. Jeff Nadello, general counsel for Buc-ee's, confirmed in an email that the company closed on the property and will begin construction next year. Atterbury Farms and Speedco Truck, Lube, and Tires were in legal dispute since April, according to KVII-TV. The two companies were disputing over a strip of concrete, big rigs used to exit Speedco, which is owned by Love's, a major player in interstate travel centers. Amarillo is a popular stopping point for North Texans traveling on I-40 to Santa Fe and Albuquerque in New Mexico. Vacation travelers are a sweet spot for Buc-ee's, which is known for its clean bathrooms, beautiful gas pumps, and a store filled with unique products. Born as a Texas chain, Buc-ee's has been expanding into nearby states in recent years. Buc-ee's made headlines earlier this year when it announced plans for a store in Tennessee that would be bigger than any of its ultra-popular Texas locations. That store opened in June with 120 fuel pumps, a 250-foot car wash, and 74,000 square feet of indoor shopping. That same month, Buc-ee's said it would rebuild its existing travel center in Luling to crown it as the biggest Buc-ee's. It will be 1,000 square feet bigger than the Tennessee location. In April, Buc-ee's announced plans to build a 74,000 square foot store in Hillsboro on Interstate 35. That's about the same size as the one in Tennessee. Founded in 1982 with smaller stores, Buc-ee's now has 35 superstores across Texas and 8 locations in other states. The company, owned by Arch Applin III and Don Wasik, started its multi-state expansion in 2019. It operates 6 locations in North Texas: Denton, Ennis, Fort Worth, Melissa, Royce City, and Terrell. Crime in brief. Police charge Midland man with aggravated sexual assault of a child. A 45-year-old Midland man was arrested Wednesday on a warrant after a child made an outcry about a sexual assault. Corey Mitchell was charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child, a first-degree felony charge. Bond had not been set Thursday morning. Midland Police Department officers were dispatched on September 1st in reference to a sexual assault. Officers were advised that a student had informed her counselor about an incident with Mitchell. During an interview at the Child Advocacy Center, the victim stated she was staying with Mitchell when he touched her inappropriately and attempted to have sex with her. She also stated that Mitchell had been drinking and gave her alcohol. Midland Police seek information on credit card abuse case. The Midland Police Department is searching for a suspect in a credit card abuse case. On September 8th, a company email account was hacked and a credit card number was stolen, according to Midland Crime Stoppers. The stolen credit card was used to buy a gaming laptop valued at $2,327.35 from Best Buy with a fake account. The suspect was seen on surveillance entering Best Buy, where he picked up the laptop and browsed around the store before leaving the store with a laptop. If a person has any information on the suspect and it leads to an arrest, he or she will be eligible for a cash award. Call Midland Crime Stoppers at 694-TIPS or download the Crime Stoppers app P3 Tips and submit an anonymous mobile tip. No caller ID is ever used, and those providing information will remain anonymous. Reference MPD case number 2209-14027. Obituaries and death notices from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday. James Claire Epley Jr., Jim, 71, of Pueblo, Colorado, passed away on September 23rd. Jim was born in Paris, Texas, on June 21, 1951, to Augustine Hoff, Gussie, and James Claire Epley Sr., Snooks, in 1947. Jim is survived by his only child, Courtney Poitevant, and husband, Harrison of Stanton, and 3 grandchildren. Jim is preceded in death by his parents. Donations can be made to Martin County Historical Museum, P.O. Box 929, Stanton, Texas, 79782, or to a charity of your choice. James Ratliff Hurt, Jr., J., was born on November 4, 1953. Jay is preceded in death by his grandparents, Sam Hurt and Mary Hurt McCollum, and Pete and Helen Wheeler, his in-laws A.C. Thomas and Norma Jean Johnson Bryce, and his nephew, Ben Heap. He is survived by his wife, Vicki Carol Thomas Hurt, his parents, James R. Buzz Hurt and Betsy Triplett Hurt, and Freddie Jean Wheeler, his siblings Mary Helen Johnson, Joe Hurt and wife Sherry, Sally Bolton and husband Toya, and Benny Thomas and wife Susan, his daughters Amy Hurt, Angie Hurt King and husband Cliff, and Jamie Hurt. Three grandchildren, many nieces and nephews, great-nieces and great-nephews. Memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, October 7th, at the Bridge Church in Odessa, Pastor Donnie Williams and Pastor Griffin Jones officiating. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Virginia Catherine Kingon, 80, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, August 30th. Virginia was born on January 29, 1942, in Onawa, Iowa, to Virginia Isancy Clark and Roderick Clark. She married Tom Kingon June 1, 1968. Ramon Dominguez Acosta, 86, of Midland, passed away October 5th. Prayer service will be held at 7 p.m. Friday, October 7th, at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, October 8th, at Primera Iglesia Bautista, with burial following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Sean Lee Babcock, 44, of Midland, died Monday, October 3rd, in Midland. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Showering at night doesn't increase stroke risk in seniors. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a senior and I shower in the evenings regardless of what time I go to sleep. There are times I shower after midnight as well. I was told that showering late and then going to sleep isn't good for seniors because it overstimulates the body and is not conducive to good sleep. Plus, it can cause a stroke. Is there any truth to this information, or is it just an old wives' tale? Because I'm 82 years old and I love showering at night just for the one to feeling clean. Answer. Some people do get energized by a bath or shower, but most people get relaxed. There is some evidence that increasing the body's core temperature a little by a hot bath or shower improves sleep. So I would say that unless you find difficulty sleeping, you can take your shower at nighttime. I did find people claiming that showering at night increases risk of stroke, although there is no good evidence that this is true. The major risk factors for stroke are the ones most people know: high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol levels, poor diet, smoking, and excess alcohol. Showering doesn't make sense as a risk factor, so you can shower anytime you like. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Couple navigates emotional fallout after miscarriage. Dear Abby for Friday. Dear Abby, my partner and I have just suffered a miscarriage. It was our first pregnancy, and even though it wasn't planned, it was very much wanted. Now that I have recovered from the miscarriage and passed my medical clearances, I have noticed a significant increase in arguments. I know it's happening because we are both still grieving. However, it almost feels like he is trying to push me away. I do my best to reassure him every day that we will get through this together, and I try my hardest to make sure he knows how loved he is. I'm also working on acknowledging that his healing path will be different from mine. I give him space and have assumed more household duties to take some pressure off him. None of it seems to make a difference. I'm struggling with how to address my concerns about us coming apart at the seams while still allowing him his space to heal. I also struggle with giving him advice when he asks for it. Because I had to physically go through it, my reactions and methods of healing are substantially different than his. That said, I don't want to minimize his grief or feelings when we talk. What more can I do going forward in Washington? Dear Going Forward, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your pregnancy, which has been traumatic for both you and your partner. I agree that couples don't necessarily grieve in unison if that's what's going on. Because you have been doing everything you can to lighten the load on your partner and nothing has worked, consider consulting a licensed psychotherapist to help you both navigate more effectively through this painful time. Dear Abby, I've been retired for more than 10 years and living in a city I no longer like. I'm alone and have very little means. I'm so tired of just being here and not doing anything. When I tell friends I want to relocate, they always remind me that it's expensive and advise me not to do it. Abby, it's expensive living where I am now. I thought I'd just take a chance and see if I can get a job right away in a new area. What do you think? I'm depressed and despondent all the time. I feel like I have absolutely nothing to look forward to. I think I could have a chance of finding work somewhere else. Could you please advise me? Displaced in Arizona. Dear Displaced, boredom and depression are not the same. If you feel you have nothing meaningful to do, first explore what is available in the city in which you live. If you are depressed, discuss it with a physician to see if some sessions with a psychologist or medication would help. I caution you against moving to a new community with no emotional support system in place, hoping you can find employment. You could wind up more depressed and despondent than you already are.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.